Jammers.
Wait, what's the show?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast.
Jammers.
Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And.
Hey.
Stephen Penta. And
real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh. I mean, like, it's Selfish Health.
Jammers. We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
She keep it spicy like Obe. Got me so high I feel holy. We on that green guacamole. And I've been fucked up like the whole day. Man, we can shut it down. She imported, man, she came from out of town. Show me how you do. Pass me the bowl, got the milk and the spoon. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the
Jammers.
She got the Cocoa Puffs. She got the Cocoa Puffs. And I wanna eat it up.
Welcome to Jammers. Let me take my keys. I got my keys around my arm like a janitor.
Oh my god.
We are a hot mess today.
Oh. Pun intended.
Yeah, because we're literally hot, and that's the problem. Yeah. Our brains are fucking cooking.
Jared just ran over to our apartment. He looks like
I'm going to be sweating till I leave.
Sweating.
It's not going to stop.
I know.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We're all going to be so thin after this.
I know. I can't wait.
This is an exercise episode.
This is the sauna episode.
Yeah.
This is going to be a 10-minute episode.
As soon the as last 10 minutes will just be us passed out. It'll just be us passed out from heat exhaustion.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. All right. So last week, we recorded a hit song with Sarah Dooley.
I know.
It was a hit song.
It's good song.
It's been in my head all week.
You don't have to lie to us. It's okay.
No, I've sang. If you can sing it when you're not listening to it, it's good. And I sing Quinoa quite a bit.
Yeah.
See?
While running.
Fucking see? Knew it.
So Jared, so in the intro this week, I'm going to play Cocoa Puffs so that people have an idea of like what you're making right now. Is that a good example?
Yeah. I'm just having a hard time getting behind that project publicly yet.
First of all, that was a little behind the scenes. You don't say, I'm going to put it. You say, so in the intro, we heard your song, Cocoa Puffs. Oh, yeah. Stephen.
Oh, sorry.
This is Stephen's first podcast.
This is what happens when you have my friends on.
I know. He's like, so listen, after we get done with these.
He gets very nervous.
We get done with these dumb broads. We're going to edit them out and it's going to be all Cocoa Puffs.
Stephen's convinced we're actively just trying to ruin his life and all of his relationships with people.
Well, I'm not totally convinced of that.
But Cocoa Puffs is a great song.
No, I agree. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I worded that wrong. It's not that I'm like embarrassed about it. It's just so different than what I have done up until now.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people that have been fans of bands I've been in that know I do it are very confused.
Well, and I think that's a good place to start is because our history is very, very deep. So Jared and I have been...
What's Jared's last name?
Jared Picone.
Jared Picone.
Yes.
That's a great name.
Do you go by DJ production names anymore? Do you still do that?
No. I have like a company called Space Brother, which is like a music library and some other stuff, but usually I just put my name Jared Picone on stuff.
Yeah.
You don't go like Jared Picone to like sound more Italian?
No.
Like mozzarella?
I'm not a, like I...
Jared Riguli.
Jared Picone or Picone.
Gabagool. Jared Gabagool over here.
Actually, I spend quite a bit of time trying to be less Italian. So it just comes off of me. So I try to like pull back a lot. So
yeah. Jared's Picone's father fine. Actually does play under the name Lil Ragu.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I also, as soon as you said Jared's father, I was like, is in the mob. Come on.
He plays. Wait, your dad. Hold on.
Oh man.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
There's a lot. This is a whole other podcast.
Is your dad. Now Lil Ragu sounds like a rapper. Does he do Italian rap?
Oh, he just raps about pastas, various shapes of pastas.
And deli meats.
And sauces. I'm sorry, gravies.
You're oddly on point for a little ditty he does in a set called The White Boy Rap. And it's like really, it's cringe. Like I have to leave the room when he does it now. I've been doing it since I've been like 12. He's the same set.
Can you sing a little?
I can't.
Does he do it professionally or does he just do it to torture your family?
No, he does it professionally. Like my dad's, he's like Homer Simpson. He's a super lovable great guy, but just fucking crazy.
Shreds blues guitar.
We have
guitar.
Your dad on the podcast?
We should. He's a fascinating.
I can explain my dad in a couple sentences.
Do it.
My dad started getting tattoos when he was 45. And now my dad has like two full sleeves up to here. Like he just, everything he does, he gets like super into.
Yeah.
I love your father. Is he single?
But that doesn't, he's the third wife, you know, so yeah,
he doesn't. Wendy, get in at the ground floor. Fourth wife, come on.
He's not on your easel.
Lil Ragu.
He needs to make some more money before he's
Mrs. Lil Ragu.
When I'm rich, I'm going to start dating guys exclusively with sleeves up to their neck that are over 65 years old.
Perfect. All right.
So anyway, Jared and I are best friends. We've been best friends for years. We started playing music together when Jared was a little kid and I was like a young teenager kid. Like I met Jared when he was 12.
Yeah.
And he was just like,
and how old was Steven? How old was Steven, Jared, when you met him when you were 12?
I was a little bit older.
Yeah. I got to back, Steve up on this. I'm aware of the, yeah.
And how old are you now, Jared?
Oh, 34.
30s. We're 30.
Fuck you, you're dumb.
Oh, he's 34.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Steven and I are the same age. Well, I'll call Lil Ragu if you lie about your age.
Oh, he doesn't know. My dad doesn't know my age. My dad doesn't know his age.
See, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm just trying to get to that Lil Ragu status.
My dad just knows where to get a nice salam.
He does. Absolutely.
I love that your take on speaking Italian is just taking the last letter off of everything.
Yeah. Either taking the last letter off or adding one.
Yes.
Or adding a syllable.
It's at plus or minus one. Right. That's all the key to speaking Italian.
That's it.
Yeah. So Jared and I have been best friends for as long as I can remember at this point. And we played in a bunch of bands that were maybe not that great when we were kids.
What kind of music?
Questionable. All over the place. We were in an alt band when we were in high school. Then we were in we fronted a screamo emo band that was just about screaming about emotions.
Wait, you co-fronted it?
Yeah, we both played it. The idea was that we would play guitar. No, I don't think anyone
tell anybody
about that. I don't tell anyone about this.
Just so you're aware, there was a point in time that both Steven and I sang in a band in front of people.
Yeah.
And you guys, on a stage. Look,
I'm going to guess that you were the screamo and Steven's like, there's not enough emo in the screamo. You called it a screamo emo band, right? That's redundant.
I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah.
The idea.
He sang and Steven just cried on mic.
The idea was that we would just yell without microphones in basements. It was, you know, so very, very underground.
So it's not dissimilar to what Megan and I do on this podcast.
True.
Off the podcast.
Right. We're just constantly yelling.
Then there was a little bit where we were in like super hardcore metal bands.
Yes.
For a couple of years, a little bit, when we were in our early, late teens, 20s. And then I moved to New York. I got a job at a record label.
What's this? What is that?
Nothing. What's
I
what?
I feel like you're waiting to make fun of Steven about something right now.
Yeah, that's what we do on the show, Jared.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's when Megan
Have you heard
and I
the show?
Megan yeah. and I look at each other or look to the side and our eyes light up. We're about to say something shitty. Don't spoil the magic. Yeah, for the
sorry.
He just sees, he's like, what are you guys doing? Are you going to say something mean? Yes, we are. Yes.
I'm sorry.
We got to let it cook.
But while we're talking about this, can we sidebar later in the show to talk about death to things? I spent a lot of time on this.
Wait, death to
things? Do you don't remember the whole?
Yes, when Sarah, where Steven said something about the death to things.
I got really stuck on that for a while. Yeah. I spent a lot of time about it.
Did you?
But maybe we can do me and you on the side. We'll do that separately.
Oh yeah, Jared listens to the show.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Jared's like my main source of feedback on Jammers.
Yeah.
So then we were in metal bands, and then I moved to New York. I started working at record labels. You moved into a house with a bunch of dudes, and then that band became Inner Party System. And then I managed Inner Party System. You drummed in Inner Party System. We got Inner Party System signed to the label that I worked at.
Really? Which label was that?
That was Island Def Jam.
Cool.
Back in the 2000s.
I've heard of that.
In the
we're so fucking hip.
The 2006 Rock Band Gold Rush.
Yeah, the MySpace
last,
days.
The last boom of MySpace. And yeah, I don't know. That didn't work.
Then we wrote that out.
But I mean, it kind of did.
It kind of did. It was weird.
Before that, I was a used car salesman in a small town and probably would have died doing something like that. And now, like, I get to do cooler stuff than that.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that
band
only kind of working. I met my wife. I moved out of a stupid town.
move to New York.
So no,
I look at it as a win.
New York,
yeah. You know, yeah. I look at it as a big win.
I like how they're discussing all the bands and like that. Obviously, didn't, well, we know it didn't work out because you're here with us.
Yeah, that's what he was like. Yeah, so that one didn't work and that one didn't work. And I'm like, yeah, and then here we are. Right. And now, bottom of the barrel, scraping the bottom of the barrel. Right.
We need you to remix a song that two non-songwriters worked on.
I don't know. I think our levels of our floors are different because it gets a lot worse than this. I promise. If this is the bottom,
does it
for
really?
You guys, absolutely.
Yeah.
You could do this like in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It would
you
be
guys
less fun.
Well, I don't want to bring the podcast down by telling our guest that he's our rock bottom, Megan. So I mean,
no,
oh, I can
don't.
Take it. It's fine.
We're saving that for the end. Yeah. That's our big finale.
I knew that walking in here. I've listened to all the podcasts. I'm like, I'm the least interesting person they've had on so far.
No, you're the most interesting because you walked in and immediately were just sweating and you put your back. It was butt crack to the air conditioning unit.
I mean, sometimes you got to put your butt crack to the air conditioning unit.
Hey, it's hot. It's hot out.
It is. It's a warm one.
No, you're the most interesting.
Okay.
That's not true. Medium. Yeah. You're right in the middle.
I'll take that.
Oh, God, Wendy. Just either go for it or don't.
I know. I can't commit to the bit. I can't commit to the bit.
Lie 100% or don't lie at all. That's what I always say.
Okay.
Okay. What is Inner Party System? What kind of music was that?
It was like a dance electronic band.
Yeah.
There was there was a tour where Skrillex opened for you.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
the fuck? That's yeah. cool.
What? Where did what happened here? How did that change?
This was one of hindsight's 2020, but we toured in 2008. It was our first headlining tour. And the main support band was a band called Sonny. And his Skrillex real name is Sonny Moore. And he was always trying to hang. Like, he would ask us about Ableton. He would ask us about like how he made this and how he made that.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to him backstage. And he would be like, you know, I'm kind of working on this DJ thing. I don't have a name yet. And I remember when he came up with Skrillex, it was on that tour. And then it was like you 6 months after
and
that.
Like, that's a terrible idea. I know music.
This was at the same
idiot.
Time.
We're going to go party. You're not invited.
We were in the process of getting dropped by Island Records. Yeah. And at the time we were hearing a lot of things because what happened was the band caught on in the UK. It was actually pretty popular in the UK, but was less popular in America. Yeah. And so we were hearing a lot of people like, I don't know, dance music's just never going to work in America.
Yeah.
Like a live band with dance music. How's this ever going to happen? It's kind of crazy, and hindsight is always a little 2020 with that one.
And then that happened, you know, and then it happened a couple other times. I think that was part of the demise of the band, was watching peers kind of just run past us. And it was like, we're doing a couple things right, but definitely not enough to make it big.
Yeah.
So then that was that.
And so you were just like, we're giving up on our dreams.
And think of it this way, you certainly would not be spending a very hot afternoon with us.
No, no,
Jared's
my best friend for life.
We'd
probably still be here. Yeah. Jared is my one friend that I think pretty much anything could happen in our lives and we would still be sitting around on a hot afternoon doing something wacky.
Yeah.
That's what I love about our friendship. So anyway, so after
wacky.
After Inner Party System, Jared started producing beats on his own. And then doing remixes of Space Brother and started getting placements and started making your living like that.
What does that mean? What does placements mean?
Syncs.
Yeah, so I do like a lot of there's different levels of it. I do what's called like production music, nondescript music that plays on TV while people are talking or like in and out of commercials or things like that. And I have what's called a music library where I make these like 30 or 60 or 90 second cues that are just like a build up and a drop. I do a lot of like trap and EDM and stuff like that for like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and like Divas. All the shows where like girls fight. I seem to do a lot of those for some reason.
Really?
I get a lot of requests for high energy trap. And that's usually what happens when like somebody got mad at somebody and they're about to fight and it's like dun, 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 dun.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
So that's like my main gig right now.
Yeah. Oh my God. I want to get a bunch of those and we can insert them in the show.
Wendy, get out of my brain.
But like when we're not fighting.
No, I'm just when you and me are like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen your face in like 4 days. And then just like, duh, 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 duh,
duh, duh, fuck this bitch. Just like plate smashing.
Is the sound effect just
no no
yeah
unfortunately I don't have those in there, but I can make some for you.
You should really have me and Wendy come and help you because I think that we really take this to the next level.
Be like, absolutely. Oh my God,
vast knowledge.
Or just like, your hair looks really cute, just this crazy fighting.
a car veering and crashing and then like brr.
Oh, I'm going to pause so we can insert that in after and post. See, I can
see we know terms.
Okay.
So you do that kind of stuff now?
No. Yeah. Well, you did that. And then you went and worked at Universal Republic.
Yeah.
As an A&R man for two years.
Three years. I just left.
Like last week. So he can give us all the dirt,
the inside dirt
on major label A&R and developing artists and just what it means to be an A&R person this day and age. And then now you're back to the independent grind. You have this new thing, Black Caviar, which is developed. That's like one arm of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then, and that's like straight pop music.
It's just dance. Like it's just club. Like I kind of feel like it's, when people ask, I say, it's, you remember the Cataracts, like a G6, just like mindless.
Yeah. Yes, I love easy. All that shit.
And it started for fun. It's not really what I came from. It was just like, it was our version of like fantasy football. Like we're not really into football. So it's like, I get together with my bros on a Sunday and we smoke weed and make stupid beats. And we've had like 20 million streams on Spotify. It was just an accident. And then now it's like, okay, so we're going to sign
amazing.
A deal.
That's amazing and hilarious. Like, yeah. That's one of those like, classics like, oh, I just don't care, so I'm successful at this.
And it's not success. It's not like we made a ton of money, but we made enough money where it's like we should pursue a little bit. Problem is, I'm 34, my partner's 40, and that's like a scene of 20-year-olds. So we're trying to like lose weight and like look better, even though I don't know if it's gonna help.
But. I have caffeine pills in my purse and a hat that you can put on sideways.
But why don't you just Milli Vanilli it and get like two super hot like 18-year-old dudes?
Megan, why don't just front the band?
Oh yeah, two super hot 18-year-olds. I know, me and Wendy. The first two people that pop into my head.
Yeah, we're blonde. I just put some pink.
Hot, young.
Yeah.
Well, all you have to do is DJ now. So that's definitely crossed my mind. I don't know yet.
I want to be the front man, but we're lip syncing over like black men's voices. Cause that's, it's a rap song.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
You're doing a weird shoulder thing. Like you're way too confident.
I'm not into it. I know. The same thing when we were working with Sarah, and I was just like, I feel the lyrics coming through my body. Yes, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Wendy hears about something for 5 minutes, and she's like, this is now what I do. I know everything about it, way more than you, Jared. I'm a fucking professional. Please do not tell me how to do this. I've been doing it for years.
That's one of my favorite things about Wendy.
Yeah,
Wendy will jump into something and be like, oh no, I do this for real. You were so into writing quinoa.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to be great at lip syncing to all the Black Caviar songs. Move on to the next. What was it like being an A&R guy?
Chapter closed. Over.
So I think this is a good segue. So Jared, as an A&R scout,
yes.
What are you looking for in an artist these days? What are the things that get your attention? All the kids that are listening, all the wannabe Wendy's out here.
Besides two people with matching hairstyles, Megan and I are fucking on it so hard.
Yeah. We've got quinoa, so we know the track's hot.
Okay.
How do we get Wendy
to get
the attention?
We got these bitches. We're hot.
You need to get people to listen, and the way to do that is to get playlisted on Spotify, get blogs to post about it, and start there.
Okay.
And all then right. It builds from there. You have to, there's an outlet. Maybe it's Apple Music, maybe it's iTunes, like wherever you have some kind of connection to get your stuff in front of people.
Yeah.
Because now
we need a connection. Shit.
You need a connection.
Well, but
you can buy that. You can buy that.
That's yeah. Fine.
You could buy
you
it.
Can buy it.
Not with our money.
I just mean like a PR firm. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can, that's really normal to have a release and spend, you know, $1,500 a month on some way to make sure that everybody in your scene is aware of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So PR firms that are listening, the jammers right now.
Yes.
But you can be your own PR
Which
firm.
Which one?
Yeah.
It's going to be a big battle.
We can make a list of blogs and then you email them and be like, will you post about myself?
So you heard the demo of Jammers that we finished next week. I may not have done the best job producing that.
It's fine.
Don't know what I'm doing with that. We're hearing that song for the first time. So pretty much we recorded our rough demo of Quinoa, which we heard at the end of last week's episode. I sent that to Jared as just tracks. And I was like, here you go, man. Whatever you want to do, go to town.
Wow, really sound like you believe in it, Stephen. Thanks.
Well, you know, I have to admit, that was one of those things that I when you started singing and you was like, okay, we're writing a hit song about quinoa. I'm just like, All right. That's what you're going to do. That is what we are doing.
It's not about quinoa. It's a metaphor, Stephen.
It's deeper.
God. It's like, you just don't understand.
Also, it's almost like this is a comedy podcast. Right. And we're not really trying to write a fucking hit song. It's crazy.
We're trying to write a hit song. I think, you know, you can joke about it, but we're coming up with a fucking hit. We got to keep this boat afloat. This song has got to catch.
I know. Well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So now the black caviar, so this is interesting to me. So the black caviar thing, that's just you and your buddy.
Oh, there's three of us, but two of us is like the face. And then we have one of my other friends helps us write the music as well.
Okay. So you guys did that as a joke, just kind of fucking off.
Yeah. It wasn't even a joke as much. It was for fun. Like yeah. We started, and there's a scene now of putting covers on Spotify.
Okay.
There's just some money to make. It's some low hanging fruit money. So that's, it kind of started that. It's like, hey, we can make some extra cash. And we put up a dance cover of a song called Lady that came out in the early 90s, I believe.
Lady, hear me too.
Yeah, yeah. Bigger hit in Europe than it was here. But then that just kept moving. We're like, oh, we should keep doing this. And as we wrote more songs, we realized what we liked and what we wanted to do was more like an urban dance thing.
Yeah.
Even though neither of us...
But so you just put it out. So now do you have connections with PR firms and things like that? Is that how you were able to like get it in blogs? I've been listening.
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, a year and a half ago, Republic Records is like the Yankees of, you know, they're the biggest label in the world. So it was easy. It's cheating for me at that point. I can just go to like the guy that fucking runs all the dance stuff at Spotify and be like, do you like this? And people have to like it. Look, you can get in front of people's eyes. They can skip it if they don't like it.
Well, and I think that's the most important thing that people need to realize is that at the end of the day, if the song's not good, nothing happens.
Yeah.
You know, you can put it in front of all these people and you can pay PR firms, whatever. But if the song's not good, no one's going to listen to it.
True.
I mean, that's not a problem we have. So I don't even know why you're bringing that up.
Quinoa is clearly a smash.
It's a dope song. It's really dope.
It's catchy as fuck.
It is. The melody's really catchy.
We can talk shit. It's catchy as fuck.
It is catchy
as fuck.
And
there are songs I hate. I mean, I don't hate quinoa, but there are songs I hate, but they're fucking catchy, and I get them in my head forever. Oh, that's what this song is.
Yeah, that Ed Sheeran song. Well, I don't listen to a lot of Top 40 just because I'm like, you know, I have a radio and stuff
too
like
cool?
that.
Too cool?
No, because, I'm too cool.
Because you're an adult.
I'm one of those cool people without a television or a radio or anything in my apartment.
Because just because you're so old, you still don't trust that level of technology.
I know. The radio, they can listen to you through the radio. If I can hear them, they can hear me. But I was somewhere the other night at some bar and they're playing Top 40 and I got so, every song I was like, this is a fucking great song. And I was the only person, everyone else is irritated, but I was so into just the catchy poppy, that Ed Sheeran song. What's that new one? Something like Your Body. I'm in love with your body. I love that song.
The Shape of You, I think it's called.
Yes, and it's great. Terrible. And I do
it's
not.
Terrible? Oh man, I think it's so good.
Well, it's catchy.
Yeah, it's really catchy. And the way that it works now with pop writing is that there's just this endless, there's a lot of people writing songs. So guys like Ed Sheeran have the chance to, you know, go through thousands of songs before they find that one. So that's why they're always releasing music he's got. I mean, he writes too, so maybe he's not the best example. Because he's like way more involved than the average pop artist is.
Yeah, but a more traditional pop artist, like Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you like Chainsmokers, same way. Like you almost can't lose once you're up there because you can just keep looking until you find that song.
No,
not that you can't lose, but
well, it's really interesting because I feel like Sarah Dooley, she's younger, she's still very optimistic, and she's really, and when we were talking to her about the way she writes, she really writes from her heart, and it's all about what she's feeling and her personal life, and I feel like you have kind of, you've grown into much more of a sustainable business model, where like you are trying to make hits for yourself and other people, like, and you're just trying to slam out tracks.
There's definitely two sides to it. It's like music for art, and then there's, you know, for product. I hate to talk like that, but I do it because I love it. I love playing the drums. I love producing beats. I love making music, but I also like want it to be my job and I want to make money and I want to make the most money I can.
Yeah.
So I've definitely transformed from the teenage like hardcore kid with all these like values to now it's like.
Yeah. And you can do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're also right. Like you grow up and you're like, oh, I have like a mortgage.
Yeah.
And like, I also like want to own things.
Absolutely.
And be able to like make a baby stay alive for more than a couple days.
Exactly. You know?
And
it's a little addicting.
You got to grow up at some point.
It's, you know what? I've been fortunate enough to have a couple songs like chart now. And it's like, it's it engulfs your whole life.
That's
I can't
awesome.
Stop fucking looking at it.
Yeah.
I can't stop
yeah.
figuring out how to make it go further, what playlist it's in, who's listening, why. Like, it just takes over.
But it's kind
months.
Of fun when you figure that out. And I don't think, and not, but you're like, I love that song, that Coco Puff song. I love. So like, you're even if you're not making music that's like from your heart or the emotional thing.
The Macarena didn't come from the heart.
Right.
No, exactly. But it still yeah. is good. You're still giving right. because right. that's that instant burst of, and that's even like with comedy. Cause a lot of times you go like, you'll be doing stuff and you go through this thing where you're like, this is really self-indulgent. Like, what am I doing? Like, I could be a doctor. I could be doing something. But then I go like, then like I listen to that song or I listen to pop music. And if I'm having a shitty day, I can turn on that song. And I instantly was just like started dancing. And my mood, I was immediately in a good mood.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Immediately.
And this, great.
Well, but it's just like, I listened to it. I'm like, you know what? You know, cause I just, you know, you get in your head and you're right. And I just started to dance and it put me in then that physical thing, put you in a good mood. And same with like comedy and with something like, what are we doing this for? This is so dumb. But then you'll have like, you'll have someone come up after and they're like, they yeah. had a really shitty week. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that was so nice to just like laugh for an hour, well, watch a show. So you go, gotcha. Okay. You're like, so you are helping somebody.
That's true. Yeah, that's good to think of it that way.
And there right. is craft to pop music. The yeah. same way there's craft oh my to gosh, clean yeah. comedy or any genre of comedy or sitcoms or whatever.
Right.
You know? I think comedy's tougher, though. I think it might be the
but
I think it's the number one. I think it's the hardest.
Well, yeah, Megan and I do have the hardest jobs and we're geniuses. But
no, really,
we're true artists, Jared.
And we're brave and all that other stuff.
Yeah, we're like firefighters. We get it.
No, I do. I think it's gotten much, much easier to become a musician that can make enough money to sustain. And that hasn't happened in comedy. Like, it's just as hard to be a comic now than it's ever been, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to make like minor league money in music being a DJ.
We'll just start. You know what? I cannot believe I didn't think about this before. We'll just take my act. We can just remix our act. We'll just have him put beats.
Oh, that's
and
so
sound
genius.
Drops.
You don't even have to do that. You could just go DJ as Wendy. That's what's like, we don't have to worry about fucking writing anything.
Quit I'll comedy.
Do, you're a girl do- and you're funny and people want to look at you. Like,
how?
Go fucking DJ.
People want, see now I will take people want to, I don't, you don't even have to call me pretty. You can just say people want to look at you. It could be for whatever
reason. You're interesting
reason.
Looking. You're very
so
interesting looking.
Looking.
No, I can't get my eyes off
thing.
Of you.
Sorry. Well, you know, it's interesting because I'll there is that underlying level of sexism that's just like in music where it's like, you're a chick.
Girl. You could go put on some headphones. You're a DJ.
Yeah.
Like that's such an old school A&R sleaze.
Right.
Like,
but it's
like
I don't
100%
care.
100% true. It's not even kind of true. It's like, oh, how can you monetize this? You should just start DJing. You're making quilts. It's doing well on Etsy. Go fucking DJ. Perfect. Let's do it.
Dude, like, is that funny to like have a DJ set and you just start and like halfway through this, you just stop and you're like, okay, I've been trying to work out this new bit. I thought of it at CVS the other day. You just have a bunch of people with glow sticks. They're all on Molly and you're like.
Yeah, just like tripping
wait
balls.
A second, wait a second. I'm going to tell this joke.
Like, I mean, it's like these people at the self-checkout, I wouldn't hire them to work at my CVS. Takes a volume, just like, please. And everyone.
And how long are those receipts? And then you just drop back into the music. Oh!
But it's nice because I save money on toilet paper.
This is a good idea. I like this. This is a short of something.
See, this is why I love this podcast. Every episode, $1 million idea, $1 million idea.
That actually, that's something that we could shoot. Don't steal this idea. We got to shoot this before the podcast comes out. Anyway, okay, so we're going to become hot DJs. That's how we're going to make money. Oh, but well, no. We're talking about it's okay to do like I fucking love that song. You're not doing something terrible, even if you feel terrible.
Oh no, yeah, I don't feel terrible. It was just different. It's just different.
Yeah,
that's just, I'm just getting used to the idea of being like, hey mom, I made a song about butts and it's doing all right.
I love that butt song.
Love that butt song.
Didn't you play that for us a while ago? Right?
Yeah, I think I did.
God damn, I love.
I but, think I played that to explain, like, this is what Jared's
get
doing now.
That yeah. music
but this
into
is like one
body.
Facet of what he's doing. Yeah. It's, you know.
And this is because of Spotify. I'm in like 5 bands right now because you don't have to go all in like you used to have to. Like when you're, you know, 10 years ago, you're in a band, you had band members and you had to do all this shit. Now you can just make some songs, put online, make a Facebook and Twitter, put a profile pic up, and hopefully if people like it, stick with it, and if they don't, you can move on to another idea.
Back in the day when I was working A&R, we had to go do live shows. You had to go do all this other stuff. Now
when a band plays live, it's like the deal's done. The $1 million check's already been cashed. And now they're playing their first show.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Not all the time, but most of the time, most of the bands I'm scouting that were more than DJs were, you know, scurrying to get a show together for me to come watch. And it was bad.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's really ass backwards now. It's crazy. The last thing I do when we're about to offer a band a lot of money is go see them.
Really?
Yeah. We've signed bands we've never met because they're, you know, in Europe.
And you just hear their shit online and they have like a following. And
Yeah. It's such a numbers game now. A&R with your eyes. That's what they tell us.
So is that like, do kids not go to concerts anymore?
No,
like little concerts?
No, they
like,
do.
Like local bands?
It's way less. It's way less.
I'm so sad right now. I just got really sad. Yeah, like ska?
In the basement of a church?
I think there still
Orange
is.
County.
I think there still is that world of like indie.
Yeah.
But now it's like if you're at that level, you're just self-releasing more times than not.
Yeah.
I think. Or like you're doing like cassette labels and stuff like that, which is just not, it just wasn't what you were paid to do at Universal.
Yeah. I worked at a company that was like, you know, we were trying to get somebody that's at 6 and take them to 10.
Yeah.
We weren't looking for the ones and developing. We were this is already working.
What are you looking for? Like, are you looking at a lot of like really young kids like Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande or like more like producers that you would do arcing deals with? Or
Are you just on YouTube a lot?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I was more of a EDM guy because I worked for Casablanca, which was this the dance subsidiary of Universal. All right. So yeah, for the most part, I was dealing with DJs. I did have some bands. I had a band called Powers, Grace Mitchell. That's like a female-fronted rock band. But for the most part, it's just a boy with a computer.
Yeah. So now, what did DJs even do?
Or a girl.
There's not many girls, I'm saying. There hasn't been that many.
I know.
It's always a boy.
But it could be a girl. If you're out there and you're a girl.
Oh, absolutely. No, it should be a girl. Absolutely. I'm just saying.
Okay, first of all, let's just like stop. Oh my God. Is there sexism in entertainment? I'm shocked. This is crazy.
EDM specifically is like so male heavy, which just seems so funny because it's dance music and you just always, on paper, you'd think like, oh, guys are going to these shows because the girls are into dance music and they want to meet girls and blah, blah, blah. But it's like all dudes.
But I think that's the kind of thing where it's like if women, it's like coding, you know, if women were doing it and they're crushing it, you'd be like, yeah,
absolutely. There's not enough.
But what do you even have to do to be a, because aren't you just like, I don't know, people joke about it, it's like a hacky thing to joke about, but aren't DJs just hitting play on a thing or are they designing their own music or are they just like,
there's different levels of it now. I think the traditional sense of a DJ was a guy that was just like rocking a party, like playing songs in a specific order that like built. And just made everybody go nuts. And there is an art to that. But I think now it's turned more into somebody that makes beats at home and remixes things at home and then takes them out and just plays them in front of people. So yeah, there's not really
an art. So you're actually producing your music.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Yeah. Like when we go out, there's nothing to watch. If I start DJing as Black Caviar, there's not going to be anything to watch. It's just going to be like, hey, I made all this shit. I'm going to play it and jump around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be something to watch.
Because
Megan
it.
And I will be your backup dancers.
We're the people.
Yeah, we'll just run around. We'll ride little scooters and skateboards like to look young.
Can I just take a nap? Because babies take a lot of naps, so I'll be real young.
Yeah.
Just take a nap.
You're
on
really
stage.
Taking this back. how do you approach actually making things then? Like when you're just staring at a blank computer screen.
Oh, I have an idea. I have to have an idea first. I can't. One thing I've learned, especially in the last 4 weeks, because I'm like just getting back into just creating all day, is I can't just sit down and be like, I need to make something today because it's my job now. I need to have like, something needs to spark me. And then I have to wake up being like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get this idea out. An example of that was recently I heard Wasn't Me by Shaggy.
I love that song.
Yeah, fucking, of course you do. So good. And so I spent like the last maybe 2 months writing an updated version of it where like all the things that happened to the guy, like she called me, it wasn't me. Like all those new things were like relevant things that happened to people cheating, like getting caught DMing someone or like fucking posting about it, like just some cheesy pop shit. And we finished it with this buddy and we were so psyched about it. And like 2 weeks ago, somebody else did it and released it.
Shut up, really?
And I don't know if it's working. I should have did some research before it came, but I remember he like sent it to me and I was like, wow, I just spent 100 hours on this. And I was about 8 months behind.
Yeah, but you never know.
But that's like, so that's, yeah. That had to happen. I had to hear the song to be like, oh, the world needs an updated version of this. Somebody would want to hear this.
Totally.
I do. Yeah. You know.
But that lets you know that you're on the pulse of what people like. It's the same thing with like, with comedy, with jokes, writing, with anything. You go like, oh, I have this idea for a TV show or for a sketch or whatever. And then if you, I was just talking to somebody the other day, they had this idea for something and then Baby Driver came out and they're like, fuck it, I have the exact same script.
Right.
But it's just, you sit on it and you like, oh, you know, and then you just, but it's hard. We were talking about that
but
earlier.
But it's still
today.
Very frustrating.
Yeah.
Oh, it sucks. Yeah. Cause you're like, God motherfucking damn it. And then, but then does that like, does that fuel you to like, okay, any idea you have to get on it right away?
Yeah, I think, and just, you have to know we're both in lines of work where it almost never works.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing 99% of the time is not going to work.
It's a good feeling. And it's nice to say that out loud. I like to hear that out loud.
See, I just sit in it all day. That's what I do. And I'm like, I got to work on this script. And then I just sit in my computer and go, I'm going to be a failure anyways. And then I just drink and I cry. And then I do it all again the next day.
Yeah. No, I'm similar. It's fucking, I think you just got to love it. And if anything you do to become successful, it's kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah.
You can't go into it expecting.
Yeah. Anything.
And I have to have a disclaimer, like, this is just me. I think there's a lot of songwriters that would hear this and be like, what, Shaggy? What are we talking? Like, I'm just in a stage of my life right now where I like,
that's how you
thinking
find
about
influence.
Gimmicks and look, I guess you call it low hanging fruit. I don't know. I just, for some reason, there's this penny stock mentality that I'm in right now with music where I like this idea of like being able to influence culture in these weird little voids and holes that people haven't thought of yet.
But it's fun too. And I have a thing, and I especially, and there's so many similarities, I think, well, in any like art form where you go, you're like for the gut wrenching type of thing. And even with joke writing, you go for like these intense things and you're talking about like these deep thematic stuff. But then sometimes it's fun to just go up and do crowd work and do, and just do wacky puns and just have fun and just like have fun and feel good. And it's the same thing with the music. Sometimes I want to listen to like Ryan Adams and get all sad. And then sometimes I just want to listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, you're right.
And dance around. Cause, and there'll be nights where like, we're just, I'll just put Beyonce on. And then it puts me in a good mood and I'm having fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't, the low hanging fruit. And I get where people could be like, what did you change, bro? You used to be doing something for a cause. But it's like, yeah, but this is fun and this makes people happy. Yeah.
I also have to point out, like when I watch Shared right now, like you write, like it's like watching someone exercise. Like you'll crank out a song in no time compared to, especially when we were 20, it was like we would labor over tracks forever and ever. And you would spend months writing songs and developing them, playing them out and then changing them. And then, whereas like, you'll just crank out a tune in an afternoon.
You have to, because otherwise if you don't, that's an exercise you have to do. Like anybody that doesn't do that writing, I feel like you can just get stuck. If you don't have a shut off for yourself, you end up working on the same song for 6 months and then you put it out, nobody cares anyway. And it didn't matter. So it's like, you just, at some point you just have to realize like, you might not be the best judge for your own art and you just have to like, okay, this is done now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So.
Ooh, that hit home for everybody. Did that?
feel the weight of that?
No, I did. Well, I just today sent out, it's the same. I've been working on a couple different things and then I was, and I'm like, well, I have one more thing and it's not done. And let me just rewrite it before I send it. And it's like, just fucking send it.
Yeah.
I sent it to the person I'm working with. He's like, I like it. I think it's cool. And then I'm like, well, maybe it's not. It's like, okay, you're not going to do anything else to it. It's been sitting in your Google Docs folder for 6 days.
Yeah.
You haven't fixed it. Fucking email it, because it's the fear of someone being like, well, but okay, no, we're going to pass on that idea. And it's like, okay, but guess what? If you don't send it, that you're, they're not going to have
an automatic
chance.
Pass.
Right.
Yeah.
So stop being such a fucking baby.
Yeah.
You know, and just like put it out there and then you're done. And then,
but that's,
on.
I mean, that's straight up why people don't do most things they want to do.
You're right.
Cause it's that fear of just like, well, if I don't do it, then I can't fail.
You're never going to be rejected.
Try.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about it. It's just like, no, that I just won't do it because I'm scared that someone's going to say no.
Yeah.
Which it's way worse to then just wonder your whole life, well, what if they said yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So
where were we? What are you going to do with
that? What are you going to do with quinoa?
Yeah, how are you gonna fix?
How do we make
quinoa?
He's
like, nothing, it's perfect. I don't need to do anything.
From what we did in that day to being a certified pop smash.
Yeah.
Well, I tried. I don't know if it's there yet, but this kind of goes into a discussion we've had about how weird some pop music production is now and how if you listen through Top 40 or go to Today's Top Hits on Spotify or something, you notice a lot of the songs don't have a chorus where the chorus used to be. Like in the song you wrote, it would be assumed that "You're my quinoa" is the chorus.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think in pop music writing right now, that's actually like the pre-chorus and the buildup. And then there's a drop. And then there's like that pitched around DJ Snake vocal. Like
yeah.
Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean at all? Or are you just like...
Like give me an example of a song.
Closer by the Chainsmokers.
Which song is
we
that?
Getting older. Dropping.
Backseat.
Yeah.
People hate them, right? Don't people hate them?
I mean, some when you're that big, I think people love you. And
you
they're doing two nights at fucking Forest Hills. I think some people like them,
yeah.
Which is scary. I was their A&R, by the way. And then they got dropped off of Republic. And then
so
they
can
and
we
then
get
they,
tickets?
And then they put out a song that got really, really, really big.
Oh.
That hurt.
So you kind of told
the first
the label.
Band I ever A&R'd was the Chainsmokers.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And then Republic decided to drop them right before that hit.
Yeah.
I
just got chills in my body
before.
For you.
Oh yeah, they came in. They came in and played Roses. They played this other song, Waterbed, that didn't end up doing very well, but I really liked. And then it was they did three songs with the Republic, one of which was Selfie. It did really well. And then they had two songs that didn't do very well.
Wait, it was called Selfie?
Yeah, Let Me Take a Selfie.
You don't know?
You don't remember that?
Oh, was that the song where they just said selfie over and over again?
That was the one.
Yeah. Literally, it was just like a build up and they would go, but first, let me take a selfie. And then it would drop into, that was the Chainsmokers. Okay. Yeah.
Jesus.
Megan, okay.
So I think that's
like,
a lesson.
In bye, guys.
Big companies in the industry don't always know what's going to hit.
Oh my gosh.
And the rejection is not.
Especially on this scale, on that scale.
Yeah.
It doesn't get, I mean, they had the biggest song of last year.
Yeah.
They, if not, maybe it was like the second biggest, but
I was at Island when they dropped Lady Gaga.
Yeah. I mean, that's on another level.
Yeah. I was actually at a party where she played and then got dropped after that.
No.
Shut up.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, that's hilarious.
I'm dating myself, but we've seen it time and time again where it's like, I mean, so many artists have that story of like, yeah, I got the deal and then you got dropped.
Have you watched Defiant ones? I had no idea Trent Reznor. No. I got pretty hate machine on TVT.
Yeah.
And then like was dying to get dropped. And then Jimmy Iovine like bought out his contract and then fucking exploded. Exploded.
Well, that's a lot of the people in the charge of like in management, people running TV networks and people running record. They're not the creative people. So and they a lot of times, and I think that's a lot of stories that you hear like that. They don't know what is actually going to work. Well, they have no idea.
But I do also, I don't want to discount those people as being talentless because I do think that those people are very good at what they
do. I do, because they haven't signed us. Are we a band yet?
No, but
drop us.
I think
immediately.
I think that some of them really do the work and really develop things and really, you know, because you don't know what an artist, with every album, you don't know what the story is behind that or how much you have to wrangle. I mean, part of your job in A&R is just making the connection between artists and producers and all the different facets that are going to become a record, a hit record.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly complicated.
There's a lot of my job that was just being a traffic cop that I didn't know before I started.
Yeah.
Like when I first started my job, I was like, oh man, I get paid to find cool music. This is awesome. I got a fucking credit card. I can buy shit and don't have to pay it back. I get to fly over the place. It's crazy. And then I started, and then I just started doing paperwork. And then everybody needed songs because a lot of people don't write their own songs. So it's a big part of, you know, the pop music world. Being an A&R is just finding songs from songwriters. So just having a huge database, songwriters that you're hanging out with and are friends with and publishers and songwriting managers. So you're just like always looking for songs that are basically what you guys sent me, just like a vocal and a piano. And then these guys, you know, DJ Snakes and the Diplos and... They build songs around them. Most of the time, they're not the guys that are actually writing the lyrics.
Oh my God. We'll start. Oh my God, Megan, we can just start writing songs and just texting them to
all
Jared.
All health food based.
Yeah.
But, like but with a deeper meaning.
Yeah.
Oh, Jared's going to change his number a lot of times in the next few months.
Sorry.
No. So back to quinoa.
Yeah.
So back to forming quinoa into a hit. So you took a different approach to it.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. What'd you do?
So I made a different chorus. So the buildup is now you're my quinoa. I can't sing at all. My quinoa. and it like goes into a whole nother part after that.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys didn't hear this yet. So it's like,
no.
So there's a weird thing that the idea of the whole like vocal pitching thing that goes on now. Mm-hmm. Another example would be Where Are You Now?
Yes.
Justin Bieber. You know, like that drop, there's no vocal in
it. Yes, I love that song.
Wendy loves Justin Bieber.
That is I do too. I think I was listening to Cold Water this morning. It's crazy.
God damn it. I love Justin Bieber unironically and unapologetically.
And so it's just like a volume game with making those kind of hooks because you don't know what's going to catch your ear. You're basically just like chopping up and pitching around a vocal and sampling it. And it's like, keep playing it in different ways until you're like, oh, this is pleasing to my ear.
Yeah.
So I've said that because this might not be pleasing to your ear.
I'm like, no, yeah. I'm probably going to love it.
So what else do you think Quinoa needs?
Quinoa, sonically, it still needs, like, there's not enough drums in it. I need to finish it. I need the sounds to be a little cooler. It's like almost sounds like what everything else sounds like, which is what I'm going for here. Like, I'm trying to make, like Steve asked me to make a pop song. So I definitely sat and listened to like all the tones and like, there's a lot of tropical synths right now, like a little, like Kygo and.
Love it.
A lot of the Bieber stuff. So I was trying to go that. So it definitely needs like some more synths, some more drums. And then, obviously for the sake of the podcast, I'm sure the vocals are what they are, but normally I would recut the vocals. Mm. So they were like, perfect.
Well, is there anything we should cut with Wendy while we're here?
Do you remember like in the more in the 90s and early 2000s, like the last hip hop wave where like when a rapper would jump on a track, they would just like jump on the intro.
Please talk. Please. Like girl.
Yeah. Or there's that. Or there's the Boys the Men bridge where you can just like apologize. You know,
that's what I want.
You could, or not a, like the Boys the Men would always apologize, but you could like talk. You could do like the bridge talking like Boys, baby. Listen here, you're my quinoa. You could do one of those. Or you could do like DJ Mustard has one now, like the tags at the beginning. Like Mustard always goes, Mustard on the beat. Do you know, like you ever hear that?
Yes.
If you hear that in big rap songs, that's
Mustard on the beat?
Mustard on the beat is DJ Mustard.
I didn't know what that was, but I do like that part of a lot of songs. But I liked it.
Yeah, it's a hook. Now it's a big thing. That guy, I feel like it's half the reason he's big. A lot of people make beats that sound just like that, but he's got Mustard on the beat. Hmm. And young Metro Boomin is another really big rap producer, and his is Future saying, "If young Metro don't like you, I'ma shoot you." Is his tag? It's in every song. If young Metro don't trust you, I'ma shoot you.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know that. That's from what's that one song? Bad and Boot? No.
Jumpman. 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 Drake and Future. If young Metro don't trust you, I'ma shoot you.
All the blank faces on you too.
Yeah. No, I've heard that song.
No, this is normal. Like every
time. I have heard that song. John Lasseter played it for me. We don't have to bleep. He's a comic. We don't have to bleep his name out.
No, we're bleeping all names on this episode.
I do notice at 34, all the music that I'm into right now, it's like every time I talk to the 34-year-olds, they're like, I don't know, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Like if they're not in music, they're like, I don't fucking know anything about Future.
Yeah, definitely. When I got out of music, I
oh, yes. Mustard on the beat.
Oh, yes. My kids love that.
Yeah. Mustard on the beat. I was playing that on the balcony terrace the other morning.
I mean, do you think we'll just as a 34-year-old that's in music and finding new hot shit, like do you think we'll swing around from where music's at right now? Where do you think things will go from here?
It's really hard to say because everybody's been, dude, even when you were at Island, people were saying, I'm looking for the next Kurt Cobain, like when's everything gonna go back and blah blah blah. People have been saying that forever. I don't think it exists anymore.
It doesn't seem like it's happening. And it seems like we're getting further and further away.
I felt the hip hop thing coming, and that's here. But I don't feel what's next. I really don't. I think hip hop's got years. The EDM thing went on for 6 years. And that's now like kind of, it didn't go away, but it just like calmed down. It's not everything. Yeah. And now hip hop is everything. But after hip hop, I'm just not sure.
Okay.
Hip hop forever.
I know. Well, it makes sense because it's the same reason I think like they always say there's a comedy boom in times of like stress and depression when the world's falling apart.
That's true.
There's a comedy boom. And then there's because it's like you turn on a hip hop song and you instantly, your body, you start dancing and you're like fun. Yeah. People are just like, there's so much other garbage that it's like, I was talking to somebody the other day, And talking about, and I was like, oh, I do comedy. And this guy goes, oh my God, I wake up and I watch 20 minutes of stand-up every morning. First thing, I just YouTube any stand. I just love that's how I start my day.
That's a good idea.
But it's like, but I do that with music. But so I think that makes sense that people like that kind of shit. Cause it's like we're saying earlier, like, I just want to feel happy.
Yeah, it's escapism. It's all escapism. It's like going to see a dumb movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't need to fucking think for 2 hours. I'm going to go see this stupid fuck movie.
Yeah.
And just turn my brain off. Like, people just want to be able to have fun in the moment and, you know, not worry that we're all going to die in 2 days.
Yeah, I know.
Very true. Yes.
I'm going to die, but I'm going to die dancing.
I'm going to die trapping.
To mustard on the beat.
Oh my God. Never say that again. Never say that again. Holy shit. Well, you just killed that dude's career. If anybody hears this, if any hip young kids hear this, they'll be like, oh, we cannot listen to him anymore.
So when do you think you figured out how to create and get famous from this music?
Well, no, I think we're going to, I'm going to be a DJ for sure. I think that's what I'm going to try it. Why not try it? I could,
yeah.
I'll stand up there and you just stand behind me like puppet hands and you control it.
You don't even need that. You don't even need me.
The
you
levers?
Just do it, you can do it
the
ahead
levers.
Of time.
Wait, hold on.
That's an idea,
on.
Though.
That's back levers? Up. Wendy thinks that there's like pulleys and levers involved.
There's
in
a very involved
a
series
DJ.
Of pulleys and levers right. involved in DJ.
Isn't it?
And then a sandbag drops down on my left.
DJ Abacus over here.
That's how I'm going to change it up. I'm going to have slot machines. My music's going to come out of a slot machine. I'm just going to. That's how we
pick the
next song.
That's a pretty good idea. Like at the drop, you just fucking.
That's actually a great idea.
And the rest of the time, you just make like smoothies or something.
I just threw a piece of trash on the table like I slam dunked it.
Our friend Andy could have that built in an hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pretty fun idea.
All right, so I think.
He's like, on that note,
goodbye.
Forever. DJ slot machine.
No, I'm excited. So when we get this thing finished, and by we, I mean Jared, and I mean,
we get all the money, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though like, sure. I didn't sing at all. You sang one word. Serendipity sang everything. And Jared's producing it. But like, we still get all the money, right?
Right. We'll be
and I mean, Steven like produced it when we did it, but really, we did all the work.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
No,
but we'll split it up. We do have to split it because I will put in the instrumental for Kardashians and all that. So it'll get used. You'll hear it. You'll hear the beat at least.
I don't know. Did you guys just answer that seriously? Like as if me and Wendy were A, going to make any money off this and B, actually take all the money?
No, we actually talked this out. Yeah, like that was how we all agreed on this. I mean, we talked that out before Jared.
Oh, guys, we're going to split up a couple $100.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have five ways split up like 137.
We can get seamless with this money, for sure.
I am so
we can get
excited.
Lunch. For sure. So should we take a break? Should we listen to
Yeah, let's hear some of this.
I want to hear it.
All right. Yeah, let's hear it.
So this is the world premiere of Jared's mix of Kima.
On the beat.
Wasting my youth at drive-thrus. I've blown a load on fast food. Only to wake up bloated and alone. The GMOs got me frantic, but with you, it's organic. Tacos from a broke down van, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. I got caught in a grease trap. My heart was searching for a kale wrap. They never fill me up, but can we satisfied until I found you? You're my quinoa, my quinoa.
fucking love that.
Really?
Okay.
I'm annoyed at how much I like it.
See, I've traditionally been the hardest person on Jared for his entire life about music. So I feel like it's very nice to have two people that are much more appreciative than I am.
Well, yeah. Steven, you're a total asshole.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
No, but that's the difference. We're only partially dicks.
You need that in art, though. We wouldn't have made the songs we made in our party system without Steve.
But you also need it, but you also don't want to be that person. It's a horrible thing to be. Because you always wind up becoming like the dad, exactly like I am on this podcast, where it's like, oh no, Steven's here.
But if you can channel that, you can be very successful. I think a lot of really successful people are dads.
Well, you need a balance. You need a balance because you have to have somebody to like keep you in check, because otherwise it would just be Megan and I going like, we're great, we're beautiful, we look great. And then we would both weigh 500 pounds.
And then crying. Right.
It would just be us alternating between yelling and eating and drinking.
Whereas with me, I'm so critical that I'm not great at making things. Like, I can't make music on my own because I'm just always in my head about like, oh, that's not good, that's not good, that's not good. It's actually really destructive.
And that comes back to what we were talking about you just have to put it out. You have to throw it away. You got to bomb when you first start doing stand-up. Right. You know, it's like, I think you have to.
And continue to bomb.
Right.
Occasionally, forever, until you die.
I've never seen you even kind of bomb. Actually, the only thing, I've probably seen you on stage like 15 times now.
Yeah.
And the only time it ever got weird is because you brought it up. Like so what I'm getting at is that it's never been weird.
Thank you.
And what he's getting at is that you self-sabotaged.
You made it weird. it wasn't weird because your routine was weird.
Hey, that's the name of another podcast. Don't hate. Oh, yeah. That's
the whole thing. It's like, I don't think you bomb. Like, I don't, no, do you probably, bomb? Like, I can't imagine.
I can't have like a true bomb. I can't think of a true bomb because especially you can auto-correct on stage. So if I'm doing something and it's not working, I'm not getting the laugh response that I should get off the joke, then it means like, okay, these people are not on board with me, and I'll address it. Like, okay, I feel like you guys are not into this.
And that's fucking funny though.
Well, yeah. So
maybe I'm an easy laugher, but
yeah, well, but I will address that it got weird. And then to be like, we're in the room. So if I'm not getting a laugh response, address it. It gets weird. Do a little crowd work, get a laugh. And then try to fucking land the plane from there.
Try to turn in another direction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I try to not ever, I don't like a true bomb. I mean, I think on stage is so different than like writing something and sending it in because you're like, this is the finished thing. When you're on stage and it's a living, moving performance.
Yeah. It makes me anxious thinking about it.
Yeah. Music's a little bit different because you can't really change it up halfway, especially when you're playing computer music. I mean, it's just you're locked into a set.
That, and if there's people that want to see you, it's easy.
Yeah.
Like when you got a song people already like and they're coming to see you, you don't have to do anything.
I know.
Yeah, it's like I know. In comedy, we hate musicians. Comics hate musicians.
100 all the time, no matter what.
Right. And guess what? If there's a joke that they really like, they don't want to hear it again.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because they already have heard it.
Yep.
Fresh blood every goddamn time. Yeah. I mean, and that's why, I mean, thankfully you can do crowd work and do stuff like that to try to keep things interesting. But yeah, you have to constantly be like, generating new shit.
Yeah.
So it's good. As a comic, it's having fans is good, but then it is not good like in a band.
Because they're like, I heard that joke. I've heard you that joke like 3 times.
Yeah. That's so weird. She got pulled over for another speeding ticket again?
Yeah. Yeah. She should have her license revoked. This is getting out of control.
7 years.
it's got to be bi-weekly at this point. It's crazy. And the same thing happens each time.
You think she
is it the same cop? Is it the same cop every time?
Because it is, you pay attention to comedy and hear you guys say it's so dumb that somebody would think, would get mad at you. But I remember being that person when I first got into comedy, of being like, he did that. He already did that. I'm like, well,
but you can't do things developing that.
Comedy is really weird because people don't think, it's like how everybody is like, I'm funny. I'm the funny guy in my group of friends. I can fucking do stand-up. It's easy.
Yeah.
But everybody thinks that because people really think that you're just going on stage and like being funny. And people don't look at it as a craft where like you have an idea and then you write a joke and then you work on it. And it could take, it could take fucking months until you figure out the right wording. Like if I say the right there, it ruins the joke. Like it could be that simple. We're just word placement and sentence structure, but people don't even think about that. They're just like, oh, it's easy. So yeah, that's why people use jokes for their entire careers. Like people will have a joke. People have a closer for years. Because it took probably years to get there.
Same way Bon Jovi's probably still playing Living on a Prayer last, you know?
Right.
Same idea.
Yeah. And you have like, and then timing and all this stuff, but that's why like a good comic, people think that they're just going up and just riffing. And then a lot of times doing crowd work, if I'm doing crowd work, I always feel like I did a magic trick because for the most part, crowd work is like, that to me is riding the wave of like, just like we're in the moment and we're just talking. Yeah. And that's a skill you just have to kind of work on to build.
I think it's like the craziest thing.
Well, it's almost like when people play freeform jazz or something like that, where you really have to be listening and involved with what other people are doing.
Right. Yeah. When people are just when they're like jamming on stage, that's always fun to listen to. And I didn't appreciate it. I would go to see a band like Ryan Adams, for example. I don't know him. But when he, with the Cardinals, he came out, and this is the difference. So like, I love him. I saw him when he was with the Cardinals. And I remember it was at the, it was at the Henry Fonda Theater in LA. And he came out, the record Cold Roses had not come out, so no one knew any of the fucking songs. And they came out and just played a bunch of new shit. And they came
out and people were pissed.
Yeah, we were pissed. And I was just like, what the fuck? But I was, I don't even think I was doing comedy at that point, maybe a little bit. But it was like, because you're just bummed. You're like, I want to sing along. But now I appreciate like, oh, cool. They're like doing new shit. They're like creating on stage and you kind of appreciate it. But yeah, no, it's a little bit, I mean, so you can kind of save your art form. Like if you're on stage, you can save something if it's going wrong, but it's terrifying. That's why I like sending a tape. Someone's like, send us a 5-minute tape. That shit, I can't, because I'm like, I have a better tag now. So I always am like,
Oh gosh, yeah, I'm sure it never ends.
So you got to just ever evolve. Yeah. I mean, that's the, just do it. Just
I know.
Get it done, do it.
That's the upside of music, is if I hear something, I can just go back in and like move it.
But at the same time, like if you don't cut yourself off, you'll be tweaking a track. I mean, you could tweak that track for another month.
So what, the one thing I haven't figured out yet is what's the line of being like disciplined and being like, I'm done here. And then what's the other side of it is that you rushed through it, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, I'm sure there's thousands of great songs that sometimes took people a year. And if they would have rushed through it,
or I mean, you hear songs about like Leonard Cohen writing a song for, you know, years and coming back to it, or Springsteen or something like that, like the old school dudes.
Yeah, it's tough to, I think maybe the cutoff is you need to have a hit. You need to have some money and some time to float in case it, you know, if you want to take a year, you can take a year.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I need to keep bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking excited. Dude, we wrote a song.
Can you do can we do like a Wu-Tang thing where we only make one copy, but it's like 10 grand?
Sure, but it's going to collect a lot of dust.
That'll be for our second one.
You don't think there's like one like weirdo Wendy guy out there somewhere that would pay 10 grand for your album?
Maybe if I wrapped it up in a pair of used underwear.
I think Wendy would know if there was a weirdo Wendy.
Maybe someone
Wendy.
You know. Yeah. Any 65 plus dudes that are really into pop music?
Hey, Wendy, you got any weirdos that want to buy this hit song?
Hey, Wendy, this guy, he'll pay 10 grand for the one copy, but he needs the socks you're wearing right now. He needs your gym shoes. You're my king of love. It's so great. I cannot stop listening to it.
Me too.
I'm going to sing it all day. I love that song. It's so great. Ugh.
Jared, and you know, I know Jared and Sarah Dooley are very self-deprecating when they're on the podcast, but they're so fucking talented.
Yeah, they're both super talented. I mean, and I don't want to discount. I cannot get over how impressed I am with
you know. Wendy Starling.
I mean, we wrote, Megan and I worked on those lyrics. Do you see how excited, do you know, to see your face light up? And I'm like, ooh, I wrote that word. It made me very proud. You're a great producer.
Yeah. Well,
you gave a lot of direction.
You know.
You're also self-deprecating, but great.
Right. Thank you. I will take that compliment and absorb it and put it in my soul and blow it up.
I thought you were going to say blow it out. And I was like, out of where?
That's my farts. All compliments go into my body and just exit as farts.
Right. That's a nice way to do that.
Quinoa. It's quinoa. It's digestive. It's that's how I process compliments. Yeah.
You're so on theme.
With fiber.
Right. Very.
You too can process your own quinoa. Quinoa is now for sale. This is our first official Jammers money making scheme.
I know. Don't say scheme. This is not a scheme.
No, it's not a scheme. It's a legitimate
business.
This
is a real. God damn it, Steven. Really, we're doing here. I worked in sales for a long time.
Okay.
So let me
sell me.
Let me bullshit the audience. Okay. First of all, you don't tell them you're bullshitting them. And we're not, it's a product. So with sales, I'm giving you an opportunity to say yes to something that will improve your life. That's all it is, right?
Whoa.
It's not a scam. Thank you. Good night.
That sounds like magic.
That's all I do. If you've never seen my show, that's all I do. Before and after every joke. I'm giving you an opportunity to laugh. The joke is not good, but if you fake laugh, it will improve your mood.
Yeah.
Studies have shown. But no, it's not a scam. This is a great song.
Yeah. We really do love the song. So you can now buy Quinoa anywhere the music's sold. But the one that really helps us, if you go to Jammers, jammerz.bandcamp.com, you can actually donate the amount of money that you pay to buy Quinoa. And you can also buy the instrumental version of Quinoa, and we're releasing it as a Creative Commons. Do you know what a Creative Commons is, Wendy?
No, what's that?
That means that if you have a podcast and you're like, I don't know how music works on podcasts. Can I use this? Can I not use this? You can use Quinoa. You can use the instrumental of Quinoa for anything you want. You can put it as your background music, and we want you to use it. We want to give a gift to podcast producers and content creators. You can sample it and put it in your rap songs. You can make your own version of Quinoa and send it back to us. We encourage all of it.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know what that was.
Yep. That's what that is.
Creative Commons. I was like, oh God, this is some other weird sex club. But it's like a daytime sex club. It just already sounds like
that
weird.
Would actually be a great name for a sex club in Silicon Valley.
Creative Commons.
Creative Commons.
Just a bunch of nerds trying to put USB plugs into pussy.
So we got a new business hustle. If you guys want to invest in Quinoa and Creative Commons, right. The upcoming sex club in Silicon Valley.
It's a very good idea.
Okay, you can also get Quinoa anywhere you get music. So if you're into Spotify or Apple Music or iTunes, we're going to split everything with Sarah and Jared.
Yep.
And they are just, I can't thank them enough for doing this.
I know, this
was a ridiculous thing that I threw out as an idea, and they made it an actual reality.
Yeah, it's so crazy because we're looking at it right now. I'm looking at it on Spotify. And I'm losing my mind. It's like a real thing.
Yeah.
You know?
In addition to Quinoa, we are also, one of the recurring themes of Jammers is that we are going to come up with many smart investments.
No, here's the thing. Here's the deal. So with anything, right? So podcasts are free, right? You're listening to them, they're free. Duh. And then you hear people run ads.
Yeah.
And that's nice. And the ad copy, you can read it, it can be funny and all that kind of stuff.
And we could run ads.
Right, and we could do that. But it's more fun, too. It's almost like a PBS type of thing. So we go like, hey...
Trying to brainstorm new creative ways.
Right. And also not just like, and not for us to just get on here and be like, oh, I need new shoes. Give us money, which I do.
Yeah.
Give us money. But
we really are people that need help.
But, but you go like, how can we, let's help each other.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, and also how can we make the show better? Because the thing I love about this episode is that we actually did something, but it takes a lot more time than just sitting around like bullshitting. Like, it's really nice if we can throw our guests in Ubers, or if we have access to, if we need like to rent a dojo or whatever weird shit we're getting into next.
And so instead of being like, hey, just send us money, we're like, what can we do? Well, it's the Selfish Help Podcast. Mm-hmm. So how can we help you? So we're essentially, we have something on the website. It's on Jammers.
We are launching on jammerspod.com. Mm-hmm. We are launching a store link.
Yes.
Where you can, of course, buy our new hit single, Quinoa. But you can also purchase our latest product, which are...
Jam-a-lams.
What the fuck is a jam-a-lam?
Well, let me explain to you what you explained to me mere minutes ago and see if I can regurgitate it. I'm going to do...
It's a work in progress.
I may have to do it like how you regurgitate compliments out of my ass. Oh. Get ready. Yep. So jam-a-lam is essentially, it's like a... It's Jesus Christ. We're going to run ads for you guys.
So listeners. Here's what this is. Okay. If you go to our store and you buy a jam-a-lam, first off, you can feel free to just, if you have a dollar, if you have anything, we'll take it. You can donate to us. It really, really helps out. If you have more than $20, what you can do is there's going to be a text box where you can type in your jam-a-lam. So if you just want a shout out on the podcast to make you feel better on a Wednesday, or if you want to say, hey, happy birthday to my freaking girlfriend, or if you're like, hey.
Or happy birthday to my beautiful girlfriend and drop out the... freaking. You can say beautiful. Sorry to bring it down, but I mean, but
maybe this is what I'm doing wrong. You figured it out.
Oh God, now we're gonna cry. We're trying. Oh no! Do it! Cry, cry, cry! We need money for Stephen's antidepressant meds.
It would really help me with the antidepressant. They're very expensive.
Or at least just tissues. If we can't, I mean, we'll just buy.
Or you know, if you want to just you know. If you want to promote your pizza shop in Reno, whatever,
yeah.
Whatever you're into, whatever you're trying to promote, whatever your selfish help requires, you can get a shout out for it. And it's like the way I thought of it was it's like the back page of the Village Voice or whatever your local reader is.
Right.
It's like,
if you do need... even are there even newspapers outside of New York?
No. Well, Craigslist. Craigslist is the new classified.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. So it's like fancy Craigslist. Well, fancy. I don't know if it's fancy Craigslist.
I mean, look, if you if you have a misconnection. Connect, you know, drop $20, connect with it on Jammers.
Yeah.
Why not?
Do it. You want to sell some, you know, used clothing?
Or if you want some help, we will be happy to help you with whatever you need for $20. We will figure it out. $20 or more. Whatever you can donate, we will take it. And that is a Jam-a-lam.
Thank you for, I really tried.
Yeah.
I tried to explain it. Look at, I'm the, first of all. I've been working out and losing weight, so I don't have a ton of energy to process. We just did a whole show, and I'm still reeling from like realizing that we're famous rock stars now.
Right. So it's a lot to process.
I've already started doing heroin just to like, you know, really.
Even the keel.
Right. I just want to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Of looking at this on Spotify.
Way to be present, Wendy.
I know.
Well, with that, thank you guys so much for listening to Jammers. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Yes, thanks. We love you. And we'll see you on the website.
Woo.
Bye.
I need you. Meals were the plan. Sloppy tacos from